Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What does one U.S. senator think of the coronavirus response, the stock market, and more? Let's go in depth with Senator Chuck Grassley of New Hartford.
Dr. Bob, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Senator?
Very good. Glad to be with you.
Let's begin with the coronavirus. You've released a statement on it. And can you just sort of tell me where we're at from your perspective?
Well, I think the statement you're talking about is the one that really isn't as imminent as, at least I hope it's not as imminent as what we're facing globally and even in the United States with the virus itself. But I put out that we're contemplating maybe we'll have to have some economic incentive to overcome the downturn that's happening in the economy. And I'm not talking about the downturn in the stock market. I'm talking about things that aren't quite visible yet, but there's reason to think that they might become the same, maybe not as bad as China shutting down its economy. So I think there's at least three approaches. One would be tax policy. That falls in my area, and we aren't talking about anything specific at this point. The other one would be fiscal policy, like we did after the 2008 with the bill that President Obama put forward, or it could be what the Fed did last week, doing more, reducing the interest rate. But and I think the Fed can act the quickest, and they can withdraw back the quickest as well when it isn't needed. But we're just getting ready for what might happen and having things on the table to talk about.
Well, and yes, that's very important, the economic response. We want to make sure that the economy stays sound. But what about the response to the virus itself? Some people are saying we're getting mixed messages from the Trump administration on it.
Yeah, or even from Chuck Grassley. So I would put this rule of thumb out, that all of your listeners should be paying attention to only what the 8 or 9 or 10, I don't know how many agencies we have in the federal government that are affected with health care, but they're all at the long table when we have a briefing on this, and particularly Dr. Fauci of the some branch of NIH that he heads. He's the one most on television, but any of them that know more about health than Chuck Grassley or Secretary Azar or Vice President Pence or the President, whoever you're hearing from, pay attention to the health experts. And that includes, because they talk from the standpoint of health. For instance, Dr. Fauci, I've heard him lots this weekend, that today there isn't any risk, but tomorrow it might be a whole different story. Just think of how fast this cropped up in Italy, almost over a weekend. So everything on a Friday was okay in Italy. By Sunday, everybody in Lombardy was panicking, and hopefully it doesn't happen in the United States. On the other hand, you got to pay attention to it on a daily basis. You shouldn't do like China. The first, it dates around December the 10th that it started, but it wasn't until January the 9th that the Chinese government had anything to say about it. It was a few days later before they took dramatic action to do something about it.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley of New Hartford.
And so are you saying that President Trump and Vice President Pence and some other high-level administration officials are undermining the efforts of the medical people that know what they're talking about?
Well, if they are, it's not intentional. It's only that we don't speak the same language that they speak, and they speak more, a little more precisely than we do. That's why I think it'd be a good thing if whenever they, the president or the vice president or the secretary of Azar brings out to give information to the public, they just say, not giving any opening comment, just say, I'm going to call on Dr. Fauci or whoever you want to call on. Let them do all the talking.
Well, but the president has a pretty big microphone, and if he's saying things, and he has said things that the rest of the medical professionals are saying isn't true, like we've got plenty of testing kits, that's just inaccurate.
Well, now we do. In fact, this week we're going to get another 400,000 out. We've got enough for 1/10 million tests right now. Well, as of last Friday, we did. But we don't even know how many people have to be tested. And we don't have to use all those tests right now. We know 25,000. Well, there's a difference. You know, every testing kit can do more than one testing. So 25,000 kits went out, and you multiply that by a certain figure that by Friday we're supposed to get up to 1/10 million tests. And then I just heard on television this morning another 400,000 or 600,000, something like that, is going to get out. So there shouldn't be any. And the other thing they're doing is they're getting it to the east and west coast as an example of where you have the biggest breakout of this virus. But anyway, there ought to be plenty of kits out there for what we know right now anyway.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Senator Chuck Grassley of New Hartford.
Well, let's move on to an interrelated topic, but different. The stock market plummeted this morning. They went off trading. They hit some kind of a threshold, and hopefully it's recovering as we speak. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I suppose that it started with a virus. Today, the blame is on Russia and Saudi Arabia not reaching an agreement to cut back on oil production through the group that they have there. And presumably that's driving down the price of oil, and that's being reflected. Now, if there's something else out there, but we know it started with the uncertainty that came about as a result of the virus.
You know, it sort of seems to me like this people, I don't know, in charge of the stock market or the larger companies seem to know something that we don't. I think American public was, you know, just sort of, you know, ready to wait and see on the coronavirus. But then the stock market really took that tumble early. Do they know something we don't?
I don't have the slightest idea, but I'll tell you the thoughts that go through my mind. But these are not in any way an accusation or anything I know about. But if you could really bring this stock market down tonight and buy early in the morning, you could make yourself rich pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. On to another topic, although slightly related, at least to our fuel supply. The Iowa Renewable Fuels Association on Friday came down pretty hard on President Trump, as did you, over reports that the Trump administration plans to appeal the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals decision earlier this year, ruling against the government's granting so many small refinery exemptions that would lower our demand for ethanol. Would you comment on that?
Yes, I'll be glad to. First of all, well, let me give you the bottom line situation right now, but I want to give you some backup to it. The bottom line now is presumably, and this, I should let Senator Ernst talk about this, but evidently she had a conversation with you-know-who that more or less said that we're going to delay this for a couple weeks. And not go ahead with the hearing while we study it to a greater extent. So then let me give you the background from my point of view. But I do thank Senator Ernst for speaking directly with the president. Now, Thursday afternoon when I got wind of this, and by the way, when I say I write a note, I write a handwritten note. It's a very short note to the president, and I say that this is a private thing, and so I don't release it to the press. But I did give him rationale why he had the best of both worlds with this Tenth Circuit Court of Opinion. Number one, as you and I have talked, he's been undercut by EPA every time he made a decision that was very pro-ethanol. Then the president goes back to guarantee us, don't worry about it. Whatever that regulation says, you're still going to get your 15 billion gallons. In other words, the waste gallons are going to be added back in. But I've told people since September the 11th when we reached this agreement in October when the regulation went out, that I said the president's got a political problem even if you're going to get the 15 billion gallons, because we aren't going to know about the 15 billion gallons until March of 2021. So between now and November the 3rd, the president's got to respond to the skepticism of the farmers and the ethanol industry. So the courts say that EPA's been screwing the farmers and the ethanol industry dishing these regulations out. And then I said, you've always been concerned about the refineries, small refineries. All you got to do is tell them you're following the law and you can't do anything until the law's changed. So his political problems, I think, are taken care of. And so I tell the same thing to Barr, and I tell the same thing to Kudlow. And then it looked like even after I did all that, they were going to go ahead. Now, what turned them around, I don't want to take credit for turning them around because I can't say that with honesty. But I gave them my views.
Well, you've always been a staunch defender of ethanol, as Senator. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today that you've been working on that maybe we don't know enough about?
Well, I'll give you a little update on prescription drug pricing. And that is that I don't know whether I talked to you since the State of the Union or not, but the president finally came out in support of signing a bill that deals something with drug pricing. And he referred to me in his State of the Union message. And then the vice president followed it up back the next morning by saying he was going to sign the Grassley-Wyden bill. So I had a three-prong approach since the bill got out of committee last year. Number one was to get the president involved. It looks like he's involved now. Number two, I got to get more Republican co-sponsors. They're coming on too slow, but I think we're making headway. Then third, I have to sit down with Pelosi and work out an agreement between the House and Senate. And that hasn't even started yet. But this has to be done by May the 20th. And the magic day about May the 20th is that we have other health issues that are sunsetting at that point and have to be reenacted. So it's something that has to go, and if prescription drugs can be a part of it, reducing prescription drug prices is a part of it, that's the ideal place to put it. Because after that, you have the Republican-Democrat caucus, and after July the 1st, you can say we got 6 months left in the year, but Congress isn't going to be meeting very often because it's election year. And if I had to summarize what the bill does, the most controversial part of it, it's got many more pieces than just controlling drug prices, but year-over-year increases in drug prices would be limited to the CPI, which I think for last year was about 2% or a little bit less, whereas drug prices on January the 1st went up sometimes at least 5% and sometimes 10%. So I'd like to have your listeners know about I haven't given up on getting drug prices down.
Well, that would seem to be something that could be bipartisan. Everybody wants that except for the big manufacturers.
Yes, and some of my Republican colleagues that are slow to get on. But I think if this is brought to a vote, we aren't going to have very many votes against it.
Thanks to Senator Chuck Grassley for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.